Okay, good morning. We're holding over here. Last week we took a little break, learned something special for Chavdala Teves. Now we're going back to the subject where we were learning, discovering Mashiach throughout all the elements of the Torah. We're holding right after the Mabul, Noach coming out of the Teva. We went through in the last shiur the mitzvah of Pru Irvu, and how that relates the Pru Irvu different to Mashiach and all of that. Now we're going to discuss the next event that happened. Still related to the Mabul, that Hashem Noach made a offered karbanos that we also discussed earlier. How what Noach's karbanos meant and how it was relating to. Hashem sniffed the Reach Nechayach. I remember as we spoke that's the smelling the light, the Mashiach, and the human being, how we're going to be after Mashiach comes. Really, really fascinating things. But after that, Hashem made a covenant with Noach. He made a covenant that he will not destroy the world. And that was sort of a security that Noach should feel better, that he should repopulate the world. So, and you shouldn't feel that chas v'shalom, what's going to happen if people are not going to deserve life anymore? Hashem is going to bring a mabul again. So, in order to secure him, Hashem made a sign, and he made a keshes. The sign that he made, the promise that he will not destroy the world again, was the rainbow. Now, the psukim say b'negei to the rainbow. Let me just read the psukim. Hashem says to Noach, give me a minute here. I'm establishing my covenant, Vezarachem, Achrechem, and your children after you. Vezkol nefesh achaya, and all living beings, Asher itchem, whatever, all the animals. Vahakamoisi, as Brisi itchem, Hashem says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, this is after Chamishi, Perek Ches, and Bereshis. I'm going to establish my covenant with you. Velo yikareis kol basar oid mimei hamabul. And that there will not be cut away or destroyed all people, all beings from the waters of the flood. There won't be any more a mabul to destroy the world. And here's in Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel is where he introduces the rainbow. And Hashem says, "Zois ois habris, this is the sign of the covenant that I am giving between you, between me and between you." The covenant that Hashem is making with every living being, Asher Itchem, that is with you, the Doyres Olam for all future generations. As Kashti Nasati Ba'onan, Hashem says, my Keshes, my rainbow, I have put in the cloud. Because where do you see rainbows? Rainbows are during rain or before rain or after rain, when there's clouds in the sky, rain clouds, and then it forms a rainbow. So Hashem says, I put my rainbow in the clouds, v'hoysa lo'oiz b'ris, and this is going to be the sign of a covenant, b'ini u'b'ina aretz, between me and the earth, between me and the land. V'hoya bananani anon ala aretz, when I will show my rainbow, v'nirasa hakeshes ba'anon, v'hoya bananani anon ala aretz, when there will be clouds on the earth, v'nirasa hakeshes ba'anon, you will see the rainbow amongst the clouds, and then, so Rashi simply learns Vahaya Banamni Anan means when it gets cloudy, means when a darkness will come over Hashem. When Hashem will become, so to speak, sad or down, if you can say, about the condition of the world. The world will be so sinful that it will bring about a darkness and dark thoughts by Hashem. Like you can say a person has suicidal thoughts. If Hashem will get such thoughts to chas v'shalom destroy the world, then what's going to happen? I'm going to let the rainbow be seen in the cloud, and then v'zacharti as brisi, I'm going to remember my covenant which I made, asher b'ni b'nechem, that I'm between me and between you, between all the animals. V'lo yia oid hamayim l'mabul, the water will not be anymore to cause a flood, l'shachis kol basar, to destroy all living beings. V'hoysa ha-keshes ba'anon, and then the keshes, the rainbow, will be in the cloud. And here's important words, u'de'isiha, and I will see it, liskar, to remember, b'ris olam, an eternal covenant. Bein Elokim uBein Kol Nefesh Chaya, between Hashem and between all living beings, B'chol Basar Asher Al Haaretz. In other words, this will be an eternal covenant. And then Hashem, one more pasuk, V'yemer Elokim Anoyach Zois Ois Habris. Hashem shows it to him. Hashem shows him the first rainbow, Asher Akimoisi Beini uBein Kol Basar, that I've established between me and all flesh, Asher Al Haaretz, that is on the earth. Fine, a story with a rainbow. It's interesting, the pasuk uses the words that I have made a keshes to remember. In the last pasuk it says, pasuk dazayin, lizkoid bris oilam. Now that's very powerful words, to make an eternal covenant. When you say eternal, meaning mamish, forever. Now we would think that the whole situation of human beings being able to be sinful and thereby destructive and bring about a threat to the annihilation of the world and bring an instability into creation, that is only shayach when people have free choice during the entire time until Mashiach comes, with this free choice, where we have the ability, chas v'shalom, of either b'char to b'chayim, we can choose life, or chas v'shalom, the opposite, then, and this yetzahara, and this ruach hatumah in the world, and all kinds of things that lead a person to make choices, silly, you know, negative choices. And as a result of that, chas v'shalom, we can bring about a gzar din. So Hashem has to revoke it. But when we say b'ris olam, it's implying forever, it's implying even b'li mois ha-mashiach. We say in the Haggadah, Pesach, we say that, you know, kol yemei chayecha, all the days of your life, l'havli mois ha-mashiach. So b'ris olam isn't any less than kol yemei chayecha. An eternal, which means that somehow the keshes has a connection to Yemos HaMashiach. Well, the Zohar does tell us something. There's a fascinating Zohar. And the Zohar says on those words, I'll remember it, remember Ribris Olam. So the Zohar says, Dekad Yischazi Keshes Begavnin Nehirin, when the rainbow will be seen within its glowing radiance, when the rainbow will be seen in the sky in a radiant manner, and all its colors will shine brightly, kedein tetzapel ragla de Mashiach. That's when you should wait for Mashiach's footsteps. As wait for Mashiach to enter when you see a very bright rainbow. So the sign that Mashiach's times has been heralded in, and Mashiach has come, is connected to, besides the sound of the shofar, which, interesting, a shofar is also round like a rainbow, but that's just whatever. But you will look up in the sky, you will see the rainbow, and you know Mashiach is coming. So we have to say, in some odd reason, that this rainbow, which generally is seen as a very negative thing, you know, people see the rainbow just as a sign of Hashem's anger or Hashem's wrath. So now we're finding out that no, the rainbow is related to the great giluyim, the great revelations, and godly light, and Hashem's light that is going to radiate after Mashiach comes, which is going to far surpass all godliness that was ever shining in the world, and all the miracles, as we know, that the future light that is going to be after Mashiach comes is going to be much greater. It's going to make Yetzias Mitzrayim look tiny and small in comparison to what's going to be when Mashiach comes. So that light is illustrated or demonstrated or expressed in the rainbow. So we need to understand what is so powerful about the rainbow. What's to shayach that the giluyim, the revelations, the great godly revelations that are going to happen after Mashiach comes, that they are related to the rainbow. What is it about the rainbow? So at first, we also have to understand something else. Let's read a pasuk from the Haftarah. In the Haftarah of over here, Parshas Noach, it speaks over there also. The Mamish, the Eibishter, speaking about the Geula Asida, the future redemption. Over there too, you see, the pasuk says over here, Berega Koten Azavtich. This is from Yeshaya Hanavi in Perek Nun Dalid. So in the middle over there, it says, when I abandoned you, it was only for a short moment. Uberachmim Gedoylim Akapzech. And I will gather you with great mercy. I mean, this whole time of separation, where Yidden are separated from Hashem, and all the golos and all the suffering and all the tzaris and everything that we see, it's all a split second of a disconnect. And the Eibishter promises that afterwards, berachmim gedolim, with great mercy, akapzech. And by the way, it says, people have always said, can you imagine if the rega katan, if the tiny moment of disconnect, of separation, we have experienced it with such, in such force, in such power, in such inexplainable agony and suffering and brutality, can you imagine, and the Eibishter calls that katan, a tiny little instant, can you imagine what it's going to be like when the Eibishter says, berachmim gedoyle makapzech, that the gathering is going to be with something not small, but rachmim gedoylim, with abundant mercy. But in any case, it compares the galus, right, to a disconnect, and then he compares that disconnect, that it was a time of anger, it's a time of wrath, is related to the mabul, the flood. As it says, b'shatzev ketzev histarti panai, compared to the everlast... Oh, here we're holding over here. Hold on. Where am I over here? Give me a minute. Oh, he says, I hid my face from you for just a moment, and I was only a little angry. B'shetzef ketzef, with a little anger, his darti pun, I hid my face. Rega, just for a rega, just for a moment. Mimech, from you, Hashem says. But then, b'chesed oylam, with eternal kindness, rechamtich, I have rachamim on you. Omar goyalayach Hashem, says your Redeemer Hashem. Ki mei noyach zoisli. Because this anger, which is the anger of Galus, the whole period of Galus, is compared to the waters of Noach, is the Mabul. Galus is a Mabul. And that's related to Hashem's anger. And just like Ashenishbati, I have sworn, Ma'avor Mei Noach, that I have taken an oath that I'm not going to bring any more Mei Noach, I'm not going to bring any waters of Noach, which is the flood, Oyd Ala Aretz, again on the earth. And how did Hashem swear that he's not going to bring, how did Hashem formulate, or how did Hashem encapsulate that shvua, that oath, that he's not going to bring any more galus, he's not going to bring the mabul with the sign of the rainbow. So the rainbow is really that shvua, is really that oath. So kenishbati, so I have sworn miktzayf alayach, from getting angry at you again, meaning from this, from turning away from you, umigar bach, and from rebuking you. Now there is a rebuke, and over here we have already a 2,000-year rebuke, which the Eibishter says is compared to the Mabul, which is just as he says, a moment of anger, a moment of Hester Panim, but just like I've sworn then that I will not bring any more, and how did I swear with the rainbow, so too, I'm now also swearing not to be angry at you anymore. So that means that when is Hashem swearing he's not going to do it anymore? When the Geula comes, and that oath will again display itself in that rainbow. So there's something very, very powerful and very positive and very good about the rainbow. And we need to know and understand what is it. So first of all, we need a little clarification. Two things. First of all, what is the content of the anger? We say that the Mabul was a time of anger, which we can understand. We say the Galus is also an anger. Okay, we also understand that generally it's an anger. But what exactly does that mean? And then we're saying that the tikkun on the anger, or the sign that anger will not come anymore, that it's over, the harsh days are over, that is going to come about through the rainbow. So we need to understand, what is the rainbow? Now the Mefarshim had already asked the question, that b'chlal, what's the sign of a rainbow? The rainbow is a natural phenomenon. I mean, it's a godly sign. It's a very scientific... It can be explained scientifically why there's a rainbow. And l'chayr, the rainbow didn't start by the Mabul. The rainbow must have been there from when the Eibishter created the world. How does a rainbow form? When there is clouds in the sky, and the sun, and the clouds are, of course, wet, and in the sun shines through the clouds, so then the droplets that are in the water droplets that are in the in the clouds start to reflect the sun, and they reflect off the colors of the rainbow. And that's how you have a rainbow. So l'chayra, that inyan was already, it was always there. That's just a natural phenomenon. So what is Hashem saying? That I'm introducing the rainbow into the world. It seems to imply that before the Mabul, the taka wasn't the rainbow. So some of Farshim say an interesting thing, that the reason that the taka wasn't the rainbow before the Mabul, because in order for a rainbow to form, you need to have clouds, but the clouds have to be... And sunlight has to shine on the clouds, but the clouds have to be to the right measure of density. If you have very opaque and thick and dense clouds, then the rainbow will not form because it's blocking the rays of the sun. In order for the, you have to have a combination of water and sunlight coming together in the clouds to have the reflection of the rainbow. You can only have that if the sun permeates or penetrates the rays of light, get through the cloud. If the cloud is too dense and the lights are being blocked, they don't go in, you won't have a rainbow. So they say that before the marble, the rain clouds were very, very dense and there was no sunlight coming through them. So Yitaka didn't have a rainbow. But after the marble, now there was some change in nature, that the clouds are not as dense, they're thinner clouds, and the rain, and therefore sunlight goes through, so we have a rainbow. So that's Taka, the Eberstein introduced that after the marble. But we need to understand. So why is that a simon of like not bringing a marble anymore? And why did that nature change? That's the deep question. What really happened? What's the inner meaning over here? That the nature of the world, something happened within the world as a result of the marble that made that the clouds should be thinner clouds so that the rays of the sun come through and they can shine and we can have a rainbow. And that is a very good thing because that's the sign of not having any more to have to bring a flood and that Hashem's anger is over. Okay. So to be able to figure all of this out, we will. I will share with you a mimer from the Rebbe Rashab in Tafresh Nun Dalet, which is fascinating. I definitely did not learn it well enough, but still, just briefly scanning it just before, a little while ago, before the shiur. This is really, really a something very. It really gives you the whole spectrum and the whole understanding of what the whole Galus Geula, what the whole situation is all about. And the idea is as follows, that the anger that we're talking about, that the Eibishter somehow is angry, and that's a split second of an anger. The anger clearly says earlier, the Eibishter says, Berega Kotoin, when later he says that, in the later pasuk he says, that the Rega Kotoin, his star tipan, I have hidden my face, in Beketzef, in anger, Beshetef Ketzef, in a quick anger. But earlier he says, Berega Kotoin Azavtich, I have forsaken you. The anger is related to that disconnect, to that forsakenness. Now the Eibishter has forsaken us because we have forsaken him. The anger comes from what bothers the Eibishter is that the Eibishter is makar chayim, ki imcha makar chayim. The Eibishter is the source of life. He is imbuing us, he is flowing life into us continuously. Every moment Hashem is enlivening us, every moment he is showering his blessings upon each and every one of us. Perpetually, every breath we take, we're supposed to realize that the Eibishter is just now breathing that into me. In Koilan Hashama Tahalal Kaz, Chazal say, on every breath I should thank the Eibishter. All of our existence is continuously being generated by Hashem. And it's frustrating to him and upsetting to him when a creature receives all of his vitality and all of his power and all of his energy and all of his success, but even more than that, his very beingness from Hashem. And the thing, Retzach Ein, this creature convinces himself that he can do it on his own, that he's a Metzias on his own, and he's not dependent on a source. There's a pasuk that says, "Ki oisvi ozvu makor mayim chayim." The Eibishter complains to Yirmiyahu, when before he brings the galus, "Ki oisi ozvu makor mayim chayim." I am the source of fresh waters of life. Oisi ozvu, me they have forsaken, and what lachtsiv lahem boidais nishbarim, to go dig for themselves. Broken pits, go look for water elsewhere. To think they have water means water is the symbol of life. You need water to live. And they're going to, they read Zechayin that they get the water from somewhere else. Like a person who convinces himself that it's not the makar of my life and my bracha and my health. Why am I healthy? Because I watch a good diet and I exercise and I do so and so. Why do I have parnasa? Because of all the other great scheming that I do, and all of the things that I do, and that makes me into such a chevraman, and that's how I'm able to make a living. So all that is the Eibishter says, that's forsaking me. That's the content of this forsaking. Now this is not just a situation that began in the days of Yirmiyahu, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when Jews began to become arrogant, and started taking credit for their successes and forgetting that they're really all the brachas coming from the Eibishter, and they stopped serving him. It didn't begin then. This is a This whole idea of ketzef, of the anger, of the disconnect, as we said before, which is related to the disconnect, is really, it's part of the Eibishter's plan of creation. It's not like something that happened because of choices that we made. It's an inherent reality in the universe and in creation. It goes back to Shvidas HaKelim, to the shattering of the vessels of Olam HaToyu. And the Eibishter had made that because that was his plan. Hashem wanted to create a world that feels itself disconnected, separated, and could, Retzach Ein, could convince itself that it is a Metzias onto its own and a reality onto its own. And that world, from its disconnected state, should go through a journey of self-discovery. And as a result of that, it will realize that really its entire power is only Eibishter. So a world that will become Nifrad, this is the game. This is basically what it is. It's hide and seek. The Eibishter creates the world. He's the Makar HaChayim. He's Chai HaChayim. He's the source. He's the fountainhead of life, the source of life. He's the Makar Mayim Chayim, of the source of flowing waters. He gives his waters. He shears this world, his waters of life within all of existence, all worlds, all creatures, and all beings, celestial and angelic beings, Malachim, Seraphim, V'Chayas HaKadosh, and Lamaila above in heaven. And then finally down into the physical universe and all the galaxies and down to our physical planet Earth. And he is the one who's Mashpia Chayim to every little creature, every human being, every little mosquito, every little ant, to the tiniest whatever kind of creature. Everything, the Eibishter is Mashpia every minute. But the Eibishter did it in the fashion that there's going to be a pirud, as we're going to see soon in the story of creation, Misham Yipareid, that the creation will experience itself as separated from Hashem, and they will go into a spiraling effect of more and more disconnect. As we mentioned earlier, it begins with Shvira Sakelim, then it translates later, and once human beings were created, they right away disconnect from Hashem in the Cheta, the Eitz Adas, continuing with Kayin and Hevel, continuing with the Dair HaMabel, continuing with the Dair HaFlaga, continuing with the early Egyptians and Sedaim. Like we learn in Basi Lagani Maimer, we're talking about generation and generation of sin. It's pushing the Eibishter away. It's getting him getting more and more frustrated with his creation. Yes, it's true, it's his plan, but Seif Kol Seif, it's not pleasant to him. This disconnect from his creations is something that he very much dislikes. He does it for a reason, but that's called the anger, the separation. And what is the plan? The plan is that we're going to reunify with him, and when Mashiach will come, we are going to be in perfect harmony and in perfect unification with our source. That's what it is. So there is a pirud, and there is a connection again. Now, we're going to use water to illustrate this process. This whole process of life, because the Navi is comparing the Eibishter's transmission, or the Eibishter's flow of godly power into the universe, is compared to water, because we understand where there is water, there is life. So these are life-giving waters. So let's look at the cycle of water, and we see mamish this procedure, where you begin with water being connected to its source, water becoming disconnected to its source, and then water becoming reconnected to its source. There is a rotation going on. How does this all work? When it talks about initially in the story of creation, it says that there is v'nohar yoytze me'eden, that there is a river that goes out of Eden. Lahashke sesagan, and at this river, let's imagine it as a physical river. Okay, there's a physical river. There's a river that goes out of a place called Eden. Now, if the river goes out of Eden, what do you think Eden is? What's Eden? Eden has to be a place where there are springs, because where does water come from? Water in a river, a river doesn't originate water. It doesn't generate water. A river receives its water from springs. So the mayano is the mayon, that is the spring, and the mayon is the spring. That's where the water comes from. Okay, then what happens? The water flows into the river. Good. And there's a nar, there's a river. Now the river knows where it's coming from. It's coming from the Mayon. It's coming from Eden. Okay, let's watch the river. The river continues. V'hayal arba rashim. Once it goes through the Gan, it becomes four rivers. V'hayal arba rashim. It becomes four rivers. Okay, it continues as it becomes four rivers. Where does the water in the rivers go to? So it says another pasuk. Kol ha-nachalim hoilchem elayam. All the rivers go to the sea. The next stop is like this. You have these four gigantic rivers. They're coming out. And these rivers start feeding other rivers and other streamlets. And it's really, this is, according to the Torah, like the entire water system of the world is all beginning in Eden, flowing through a one river, turning into the four rivers. From the four rivers, it says, all the rivers flow to the Yam. Now, if all the rivers are continuously flowing to the Yam, what should happen? The Yam should overflow. The ocean should go higher and higher and higher, because you see it in the world, Bechlal. What do you think? All rivers have an outlet. They end up in the sea. So if you have this continuous flow, the water should go higher and higher in the seawater. It should rise, and it should flood the entire world. Why doesn't it happen? Because just like when you're filling a bath, and you're filling it and filling it, and then you can, so you, the bath will get higher, and there's a danger that the bath will overflow. But if you leave the stopper or whatever on the bottom unplugged, so as you're filling it from the top, the water is draining from the bottom. That's happening with the Yam. The Yam receives all the water inside of it, and when the Yam receives the water inside of it, there is the water rotates back. What happens to it? It goes into the earth. There are certain channels from where the ocean water goes into the earth, and it passes through the earth and through the veins of the earth. It goes back under the earth, and it comes back out as spring water. So you see the rotation. It returns back into the spring water. But here you see an interesting change. When the water is fresh spring water, it's the most delicious, delicious water. Like you say sometimes on these water bottles, straight from the spring. And you know, like, if you're able to convince you to buy the Fiji water and pay an extra, you know, $1.50 and a half for a nice bottle of water, and you taste it and you say, ah, this doesn't taste like what other kind of water, Dasani water or other water. This is like straight from the Fiji springs, straight water from Gan Eden. Whether it's really that way or it's just because of the packaging, I'm not exactly sure. But whatever it is, it's such a freshness. So that's the water. That's the spring water. Once water is in a river, it's still drinkable. It's good. You can go to the water and shep water in the water, but it's not the same like in the spring. But it's still good water. Okay. Then, once the water however enters into the Yam, it fills the ocean. What happens to the water then? It becomes salty, and it becomes undrinkable, to the point that when you're going when you're leaving on a ship and you're traveling somewhere, you can't rely. Even though you're surrounded in water, you can't rely on that water because it's not drinkable. You have to bring water from dry land. The water is totally not usable. However, that's until the water returns back under the sea, and it starts going back to the source. When it goes in the earth, a magnificent thing happens. It's going through earth. Earth is the low, like really, really dirty, filthy, right? It's the ultimate sign of like dirt, lowest thing. Yet the dirt is serving as a filter. It's filtering the water. So when the water comes out on the, and it goes back into the springs, and the waters come out on the other side, wherever the spring is, it's again fresh mayim chayim. So somehow, mysteriously, feeding it through the earth was this magnificent filter to clean the water and restore it back to its mayim chayim state. Now the Rebbe Rishab tells us like this. This is the flow of life from Hashem. The Eden, that's the Eibishter himself. Eden, Nahar Yotzei Me'Eden, that's the waters coming directly from Hashem itself. And over there the water, meaning the godly life flow, is totally miyuchad with Hashem. It's totally one and completely with the Eibishter. There's nothing else but Hashem. Okay? Generally, we're going to see soon, the Mayon is even higher than Atzilus. Mayon is the oir of the Eibishter as it's still in Chachma. Chachma is the first point of Atzilus. Totally koyach ma, totally batal to Hashem, the point of wisdom where you feel without any shadow, without any possibility of anything else, anything but the Eibishter. Okay. Then there becomes Nahar Yotzei Me'Eden. Then it becomes one river. What's that river? The river is godliness as it is channeled through all the attributes of Atzilus. Oh, when it's channeled through the various different attributes, it's not as pure as the Eden water, as the Koyach Ma, as it's still at the highest point of existence when it's totally one with Hashem. It's still one, but it's a Nahar, as I said, Nahar Echad, because all the attributes that there are in Atzilus, they are also miyuchad with Hashem. Chesed, the Eibishter Chesed. Gevura, the Eibishter's Gevura. Teferes, the Eibishter's Teferes. In Atzilus, there's nothing but the Eibishter. In the world of emanation, there's only Hashem.
And that's why it's still called V'nar Echad, it's still one river. Okay, fine. Then what happens? It goes to the Gan. The Gan is Malchus, is the last attribute of Atzilus. It's the last stop before you cross the border. You ever go to San Diego, you ever go to Mexico? So there's a sign over there and it says, this is the last stop, the last exit before you cross the border. After that, you're already in Mexico. So if you want to exit, exit now. So if you want to remain in a world of Achdus, in a world of unity, you got to exit before you get to in Malchus of Atzilus. If you can allow the waters to continue past Malchus, the Shechina continues to create, and you enter into what happens after Malchus of Atzilus, you enter into Olam HaBriya, you cross the border. When you cross the border into Atzilus, guess what? You're in Mexico. And if anybody ever went from America to from the United States into Mexico, in 1 minute you turn around and you feel that you're living in an Alma de Peruda, in a world of separation. It just feels like Mexico. It doesn't feel like the United States. It just has a whole different feeling. You see the poverty. You see the all over. You see the graffiti. It's just if you go to Tijuana, that's what happens. You come into Olam HaBriya and it's in Ois Atzilus. There is already Misham Yipared. It's a world of Pirud. What's the Pirud? V'hayalar Barashim. There's the four Malachim, which are the Merkava. The four. There's the Pnei Hashoer, the ox, the Nesher, the eagle, who else is there? The eagle, the lion, and the face of man. But these are already malachim that have a consciousness. That's the main point. They have a consciousness in which they feel themselves already as somebody. They're holy malachim. They sing and they dance all day long, kaddish, kaddish, kaddish. But they still are a somebody that's saying kaddish. So they are something. There's already pirud. So it's like the river is becoming four rivers. It's already parade, pirud. This inyan of ketzef, of anger, already begins over there. Because something is feeling itself not with total bittul. Okay? But it's still holy. It's holy pirud, if you can say that. But it's not real pirud, because it wouldn't. In Olam HaBriya, there's no ra. There's not shayach for anybody to ever entertain in Olam HaBriya a thought to be able to go and do something against Hashem. It's not possible, because you're so permeated with godly consciousness that you're batel mevutel betachlis. Oh, what happens after? Where do the rivers go after they become rivers? They go into the sea, and the Rebbe Rishab says, the sea, what's the sea? The sea is Olam HaYetzira. Olam HaYetzira is the sea, because in Olam HaYetzira, the waters, the godly life flow has become already so separated, so disconnected, that it's like salty, like a salty ocean. It's not drinkable anymore. And that's why there are malachim there, and there are holy malachim, there are good malachim, but he brings over there that in Olam HaYetzira, you have already troublemaker malachim. You have already malachi ra, malachim of ra, and they're the source of the 70 ministering angels, of the 70 sodim, which ultimately they will breed, as they will translate further, they will breed people who are totally rebellious against Hashem. In other words, in Olam HaYetzira is where Eitz Hadas, he brings an interesting idea, Kabbalistic idea. In Olam HaYetzira is where you have Eitz Hadas, Tovara. You have already the Eitz Hadas, a mixture of good and bad. That's the saltiness. It's not drinkable. It's not life-giving. Water is supposed to give life. It's not life-giving anymore. So to us, Olam HaYetzira is so holy. But it's not. It's already, there is a strong disconnect. Okay. That water has to be fixed. Where is the waters of Yetzira going to be fixed? The life force as it is in Olam HaYetzira. How is it going to be fixed? Guess what? In order for it to be fixed, it has to come down to the last world. Where does it have to come down into Olam HaAsiya? Meaning energy of Hashem has to translate into the physical universe. Now, when it enters into the physical universe, it goes into the earth. It becomes much lower than water. You can't drink water. You for sure can't drink earth. Chas v'shalom, the opposite. When a person dies, they put him in the earth. So earth is not life-giving. Apipashtis. I mean, it has its qualities. But the water, it's the opposite of life. Total death. Inanimate object. Total, like, tight. So earth is... But here's an amazing thing. When the life is going to go through the earth... Earth is going to purify it to become back again living waters. What does that mean? What does that mean? That the earth is going to become back again life-giving waters. It means dafke in the state of ultimate separation, which is in the physical earth, in which we don't feel Hashem at all. Yet the Eibishter descends down Nishmas Yisrael, souls of the Jewish people. And our Nisham has come down into bodies, into this planet earth, in a place of Helam v'Hester Legamri, where it's totally Not only that, in a time of galus, in a time of extreme obstructions and darkness, and a yid learns Torah and does mitzvahs in this earth during the time of, especially in the time, and what is he doing? He's taking the waters that are going through the earth, okay, which are, and he's restoring them, which means that's the avoda of birur hanitzutzes. Birur hanitzutzes means sparks of energy, which, as earlier, now we're talking about them as a spark, but let's use a different analogy. The sparks of energy, the sparks of the lakus, they are the waters. They are the chayas eliki, the godly chayas that is inside, embedded in the physical world. But when they're in the physical world, they're in the most disconnected state. But daske, in the most disconnected state, that's when they're fixable, in which you can turn them back and make them totally unified with their source. And that is when a yid learns Torah and does a mitzvah. And what's a mitzvah? A mitzvah is an act contrary to pirud. A mitzvah is an act of yichud. That's why before we do a mitzvah, we say l'shem yichud. In other words, when you're doing a mitzvah, you're plugging something back into elokus. What does that mean? Why am I doing the mitzvah with a physical object? It's not stam, I'm doing a nice thing. I'm doing the mitzvah means I'm demonstrating that the MS of this physical object is the Eberster. And that's why elokus, the Hashem's will, should be done with this physical object. So now something that is in the state of total disconnect is reunified and it becomes Mayim Chayim again. So it has to go down into the state of total disconnect in order for it to be fixed again. That's what's interesting. In the Pasuk it says, when we speak about the Pasuk of the four worlds, we say, L'chvoidi, for my honor, Barasiv, I created it, Yitzartiv, I have formed it, Afasisiv, I also made it. Okay? L'chvoidi, for my honor, Barasiv, I created it. That's, so it says in Chassidus like this, Kvoidi, that's Olam Atzilus, Hashem's honor. It's still only Eberster, it's Hashem's honor. Barasiv, Olam Abriya, Yitzartiv, I formed it, Olam Ayetzira. And asisiv, but before the word asisiv, there is a word af. So what does af mean? Af means also I made it. But af also has another meaning. Af means anger. Now isn't that interesting? What did we say before? What's the anger? The anger is when something is receiving vitality from Hashem and is ignoring that it's receiving its vitality from Hashem. That gets Hashem mad. That's upsetting. Where is there the most anger? In Olam Asiya. So Olam Asiya is the place of ketzef, of anger, of the biggest disconnect. But af also means something else. Af means also. So also it says that, what's the also from af? From af, from the world of Asiya, also, the also comes to add. Tafka, from the state of complete disconnect, we can do a mitzvah and bring it back to the Orein Seif that's higher than everything. When you lift the spark up and return it back, you return life to its original source, and you get back to the Mayim Chayim, to the life-giving waters, where things are still in its state of total unity with Hashem. Now, when is that going to happen? We do that through thousands of years of galus, and when are we going to be completed the work of the Jewish people, our neshamas, going through life, going through challenge after challenge, we live through every possible hell and vehester possible, and yet we hold on dearly to Torah and mitzvahs, and we use our physical objects that we have in our life to serve the Eibishter. We make money and we give tzedakah, and then we do everything else that we have through, and our homes are Yiddish homes, kosher kitchens, and everything that we have is bekashrus, and everything is with the Eibishter's will. We're taking things from its most disconnected state back to unification. So we return the water back. And what does it say when Mashiach comes? Bayoyim ahu, on that day, yetsu mayim chayim, fresh living waters will go out, mi Yerushalayim, from Yerushalayim. We will finally get back to the state of mayim chayim. That's what? That's ki oisi ozvu mekor mayim chayim. They have disconnected. See, even in Olam HaBriya, even Malachim, they're also disconnected. They've left me. Ki oisi ozvu, they have forsaken me. But now, after Avodas HaBirurim, when we complete our birur in this world through Dvarim Gashmiyah, and with all and which suggests total pirud, and a yid who is an action, a stubborn And he doesn't allow himself to become persuaded by all the persuasions of the physical world that there's no Eibishter. And he holds strong and he devotes himself to use all of his kaiches and all of his possessions and his time and his resources to dedicate it to serving the Eibishter. What happens? He picks everything back up to the original Mayim Chayim that are coming out, Makar Mayim Chayim. Okay, and that's going to be the completion of our Avodah. A total restoration, a total return. Hold on. A total return to the original. Okay, so I hope everybody bears with me. Okay, so you see the cycle of life, the cycle of energy. As things get back, restored to the beginning. Now, this Avoida of Birur HaNitzutzes, which is to rectify the anger, okay, is hinted to. Now we use the water, and I need you to, for one moment, remove that mushel of water, okay, from your mind, which is a beautiful mushel to illustrate the whole thing. And now we're going to use some other illustration to this idea, which is relates to the rainbow, and that is as follows. This avoida of picking up the water, as we spoke earlier, that's in the earth, and cleansing it and purifying it and bringing it to a state of reattachment to its source, as we said before, is Birur HaNitzutzes. That's the avoida of making clouds. And a different, again, we're using now a different analogy. Why? Because how do clouds form? Let's imagine, how do clouds form? Clouds form when sunlight shines on the earth, it cooks up the water, and the water rises, and that heat and that steam rises, and that's where clouds come from. Okay, so clouds represent. Okay, so now let's see what's the sun. So we need to know what's the sun, and what is being cooked. Okay, the water which we said earlier are the waters that are in the earth. That's the Nitzutzei Kedusha. That's holiness. That's within the earth. But in order for it to rise up, as we're saying, we're lifting the sparks back up. So again, that's where we're going. I don't want anybody to get confused. Now, instead of looking at the waters going back to the spring, we're going to look at the waters rising back up to Shemayim. Okay, that's where we're changing now. Okay, but it's the same idea. We're returning back things to Elokus. The Eibishter gives us, channels godliness down, and it becomes stuck. It gets disconnected. Our Avodah is returning it back. Okay, reuniting. That's our Avodah. Now, you need sun. What's the sun? So the sun is what cooks up the water. What is that? So the Rebbe says, that is the power of, that is Torah Mitzvahs. Torah Mitzvahs is the sun. Because Torah Mitzvahs is a giluy of Havaya. What's Torah Mitzvahs? Torah Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs are Ani Havaya. But Hashem signs his name almost by every mitzvah. Ani Havaya, not by a lot of mitzvahs, Ani Hashem. It actually says in Chassidus that the word mitzvah is really Yudkei Vavkei. Because mitzvah has got a vav k, and mem tzaddik is also yud k. It's yud k. Why is mem tzaddik yud k? Because tzaddik is the 10th letter going back. If you go tough, no, I'm sorry, not tzaddik. Mem. Excuse me. Mem is the 10th letter going back from tough. Mem is the 10th letter. So we switch it with yud, because yud is the letter going one way is yud. The first 10 letters, aleph, beis, yud is the 10th letter. Mem is backwards. And with a system called atbash, where the aleph switches with a tuf and the beis with a shin, yud switches with a mem. So instead of the yud, you have a mem, and instead of the hey from yud k, you have a tzaddik, because tzaddik is the 5th letter back. So mitzvah really is yud k vav k. When we do a mitzvah, or when we learn Torah, we're applying yud k vav k, a giloy of the Eibishter, into the world. So the mitzvah is, Torah mitzvahs, that's the sun. Another thing that's part of the sun, our neshamas. Every neshama is chelik alakayim imal mamish. So we're part of the sun. The sun is called Shemesh Havaya. Shemesh of Yudkei Vavkei. The sun has a shield, which is the name of Elohim. Shemesh Umagan Havaya Elohim. That's the shield. The Elohim causes pirud. Okay, that's Elohim. But our neshamas are not part of the name of Elohim. Our neshamas come from Shem Havaya, that is higher than Shem Elohim. Our neshamas and Torah mitzvahs are both Yudkei Vavkei energy, so it's compared to the sun. When our neshamas come down in this world and we apply Torah and mitzvahs to the physical substances and the physical objects of this world, what happens? We're liberating the sparks of holiness. We're taking this energy that's in this world and reconnecting it to the Eibishter. That's called lifting up clouds. The clouds are going up. You see, the sun is applying down. It's creating this mist. It's what we call, there's first an asinas koyach momayla, and we call this rusa de liela. There's a shining of the neshama, Torah and mitzvahs from, these are godly things that we get from above. Our neshama comes from above. Alakai neshama shenasatabi. We don't create our neshama. That's not our work. The Ebishter gives it to us. Torah and mitzvahs v'nosan lanu as terasa. That's what the Ebishter gives us. We take our Torah and mitzvahs and our neshamas. We apply it to the world. And what do? Aliyah. We start elevating the world and we create clouds. Now, when the combination of the sun and the cloud released the sparklets of water that are trapped. Water is the godly spark that's there. It starts shining. That's the great light that comes from Birur HaNitzutzes. When the spark is revealed, so this is, because one thing I didn't say in all of this, when you bring back these, when the water goes back to its source, it's not just bringing things back to the beginning, you give the Ebishter a tainug. Because Saif Kol Saif, who made the breakage? Hashem made the breakage. So if it's only to bring things back to the to square one, to where we started off, what's the point? It's not like Hashem caused this breakage and the shattered world and this pirud in order to get back to Yichud. You have to say that there's something being gained. What's being gained? What's being gained is that this process gives the Ebishter pleasure. When we find our way back home like salmon swimming against the current and go back to that place, it gives the Ebishter a nachas. That nachas, which Birur HaNitzutzes cause, is the colors of the rainbow. The rainbow is the light that comes from the birur that was done in the world through all the nitzutzei kedusha in which we're elevated, in which we're purified, which are in the clouds, which are our avodah that we've done, as applying the sun. That cloud, that shine of all the colors, that's the Ebishter's tainug, which is going to be, as we understand, when the Zohar says when Mashiach will come, what is going to happen when Mashiach comes? Till now, whatever we've accomplished through all of our birurim and all of our avoid of rectification is behel and behesta. We don't see it. It's concealed. It's shining in Atzilus, but it's not shining in our world. We don't see anything of the great light. When Mashiach will come in 1 minute, suddenly the lights will turn on. We will see all the nitzutzei kedusha that we've done and we've elevated shining in the clouds, and there will be a massive, brilliant rainbow which will bring us the days of Mashiach, the incredible light. Now we understand why this is connected to the promise after the Mabul. The Mabul came, as we learned many times, as the Alter Rebbe says, was a purifier. The condition of the world before the Mabul was such, and let's go back, is that, just like we know now, I'll give an example. We say that we apply our neshama and Torah and mitzvahs to the physical objects of this world, and we elevate them. But we know that there are certain things that are not elevatable. There are certain things that are shalish klipay satmeyos. Hashem says it's not kosher. So even if an neshama goes and tries to connect it to Hashem, or even if you try to do a mitzvah, you're doing a mitzvah, you're applying a mitzvah. For example, you're doing there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, but you're taking flour that is not kosher, because how could flour be not kosher? Let me try to think. Okay, I'm not flour. You're doing an esrog. Oh, you want to shake an esrog with an esrog from Arla. Now, halacha is, it's not a kosher esrog, because it's from the first 3 years, the fruits are not kosher. If you try to do a mitzvah with it, the mitzvah doesn't help. The neshama doesn't help, the mitzvah doesn't help, and the reason for that is because it's shalish klipas atmeis, it's not elevatable. It's similar to a cloud that is too thick, in which the light of the sun cannot reveal the droplets that are in it. It can't shine it, can't light it up. So we know that there are certain things we can't fix, certain things we do. We concentrate on what we could fix. Before the Mabul, the entire world fell down in such a yerida that the whole world was shalish klipas atmeis. And therefore it couldn't be revealed. So man couldn't occupy himself with the avoid of tikkun olam, of correcting the world, of restoring the energy back to its source. It was, the shell was so thick, you couldn't bring it back. It was stuck. Came a Mabul. What was the Mabul? The Mabul was a purifier. It was a mikveh. It softened the world. In simple words, what does it mean? The human being after the Mabul is a more humble being. He doesn't have the same kind of ego that he had before the Mabul. He's a more humble metzius, and he's able to allow bittul into his life, and thereby he's able to have, lift sparks up of holiness. Human beings, the whole world is an edel in revelt. So that's why the Eibishter shows as a sign that he's never going to bring a marble, he showed the rainbow, because the rainbow was a sign of the Zichuch HaOlam, allowing for the Nibir. But then it was the Eibishter showing, this is what I am, this is the nachas that you're going to start doing for me. Because they didn't do yet Bitter Hanitzutzes. Torah wasn't given yet. Noach was just beginning the work of the Tikkun Olam. So therefore Hashem said, this is the rainbow. But Hashem is saying, V'hoysel Bris Olam. This is going to be eventually the rainbow. This, all the lights. This is the fireworks. This is going to be all that glow and all that beautiful light that is going to shine in the world after Mashiach comes is Mamish, the rainbow, because that's the Aliyah Satachtain. And this thing, Metz Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem, we be merit to see that fantastic rainbow any moment, mamish now. I wish there were any moment right now. Everyone should have a really good week, and Be'ezus Hashem, next week we continue.